Today's second scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31, and that can be found on page 1038 in your pew Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. So obviously this week we are continuing to work through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, something that I love about this letter is that it is abounding in sermon topics and lessons. And sometimes it would almost seem difficult to pick and choose what to preach about. However, as I was studying this week and reading through this passage, something that kept jumping out at me was how much we learn about the power of the cross. Now, throughout much of the passage we read today, Paul talks about wisdom and foolishness, strength and weakness. He focuses on things and people who are often considered lowly or despised in the world. Last week, Pastor Matt gave us a little bit of history and context surrounding the people of Corinth during this time. We learned that people were forming groups and factions around certain leaders in the church. People were saying, I am a follower of Paul, or I am a follower of so-and-so, or I follow this person. We know that this was common among the Greek culture during this time, and that wealth and stature were very important. A person was often defined by their wealth, or maybe defined by a skill, like being skilled in rhetoric. Other people then wanted to affiliate themselves with someone of a higher stature, and they wanted to affiliate themselves with someone who was held in high esteem. Oftentimes, people did not associate with someone who was despised or considered to be lowly or weak. I have to wonder then, what did it mean then to believe that their salvation came from a Christ who was crucified? I think to even understand that question, we first need to understand what it meant to be crucified during this time. To believe that your salvation was gained through someone who was crucified was unheard of. One commentator pointed out that being crucified was not just a horrible way of dying, but it was a death of humiliation. It was seen by Romans and even some Greeks as being abhorrent, brutal, disgusting. It was the sort of death that was reserved for the worst of criminals and even terrorists. It would never have been imposed on a Roman citizen or a more respectable criminal. It was a punishment and a death that was meant to bring humiliation and shame to the person who was being crucified. It would be utter foolishness to believe that salvation could come from such a person. To many in the world during this time, they pictured a savior as being someone who would come in full of glory and majesty and in power, not someone who would be shamefully put to death on the cross. To those who found their wisdom and strength from the values of the world, wanted a savior who matched what they wanted and thought that a savior should look like. Instead, God gives them the complete opposite. God, in sending his son and having him crucified in the way that he was, affirmed those who were considered to be nothings and nobodies. He went against the wisdom and the values of the entire world, a world that put such high esteem and strength on stature and wealth. It was inconceivable that those who were lowlier than them would be affirmed. However, God, through the power of the cross, completely reversed the values of the world. Those values which separated people in the church were not the same values that God had. God showed this through the crucifixion of Christ, that the things that the people of the world find value and strength in are not the things that he finds value and strength. The ways of the world are not his ways. By stripping down the values of the world, God showed that the way people viewed each other needed to change, and that all were united in Christ because all were the same. Those words that Paul writes about the cross are just as relevant and powerful today as they were the day that he wrote them. By enduring a shameful death, God broke down the values of our world to show that often what we view as being a value is not what we should be valuing. It can also play a role, I think, in how we see value within ourselves. In the world that we live in today, it's easy to feel like we don't have value. The world tells us that we should find value in ourselves through certain things. Maybe through power, maybe through money, or through prestige. We feel like if we don't have as good of a job as the person next to us, that somehow we are not as high of a person or valued as much as a person. I know even at the seminary, we'll sometimes joke with each other that, why on earth am I in seminary? This person is way better of a person to be in seminary, by my view. I believe that this person is much better to be here than I am. But that is not the way that God looks at it. God values who we are, and he values us each as people. And he shows us this through his crucifixion on the cross. He valued us enough to come down and die a humiliating and shameful death to show us the love that he has for us. Just as we should look at our value in ourselves the way that God looks at us, we should also take that and view other people in the same way. How do we sometimes view other people? Do we value them in the way that the world values them? This last summer at my internship, I worked with a food pantry at the church down there. Every week we had 250 or so people come through there once a week to get food. One of my first times there, the pastor said, if I can just give you one word of advice while you're starting, it would be, look every person who comes through the line in the eye. And I thought, well, that's easy. Okay, so I'll just look people in the eye as they walk by on the line. Not as easy as what I thought it was going to be. As each person came through, I found myself struggling to look them in the eye, to really start a relationship with each person. And as I reflected on that, I wondered, is it because of the way I view this person? Do I view this person as having as much value as me? Or do I just view this as a person who is coming here to get food? Do I truly see this person as God sees this person? As I continue to build relationships with these people, as I continue to look them in the eye and get to know them, who they were, the things that they loved, the way that they showed love to others, I began to see more and more how God valued them and began to see them more through the lens that God sees them. The same was true for other people down there. When I went down to Hawaii, for the first time in my life, I was a minority. And yet, other people down there who were taught to view me as a threat because of the color of my skin chose instead not to look at me for that reason, but to look at me as a person and built relationships with me. They could have gone with the values that the world around them told them to go with, but instead they chose to look at me as a person, as God has called them to do. So I would say to you, remember the values that God gave us on the cross. It is through He came, He died, a lowly death, a death that to the world seemed to be filled with shame, a death that the world could not understand. But to those of us who He has come to save, His death means salvation and life for eternity. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your sending Your Son, Lord, to come and die on the cross for us. We praise You for Your life, for Your death on the cross, and for Your resurrection. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to look at ourselves and look at others as You look at us, Lord, through the lens of the cross. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.